on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis in terms of Lakninu B'Shini Hashem. And Tosfos over here references the sugya in Bava Kamma on Daf Samach Vav, Samach Zayin. So let's just review what the sugya over there has to say and then see what Tosfos' issues are. So the Gemara over there, in the Bava Kamma, the seventh parak, is dealing with the world of Geneva and Gzela. And there is a question within the world, Kinyani, Geneva, and Gzela, as to whether, aside from Shinui Maisa, Shinui Rishus, whether Yeyush is a Kinyan Gzela, whether Yeyush Kedi, Yeyush on its own, is Kone or not. And that's a Machlokes, Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Rabbah holds that Yeyush is certainly Kone. Gemara and Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Yeyush is Kone. The question in the Gemara is only, is it Kone Midorais or Midrabanim? The Yeyush is Kone. And Rav Yosef disagrees, Bikaron. The Yeish is certainly not Kone, even Midrabon. And then the Gemara has Toshma, Toshma, Toshma over a blot as to whether we can prove either Rabba Shita or Rav Yosef Shita. So one of those who is involved in trying to get to the root of the problem is Abaye. Abaye was a student of Rabba, he was a Chaver of Rav Yosef, and Abaye asked on Rav Yosef that we have a Mishnah in Taharos which distinguishes between a Ganov and a Gazlan, that one of them we say has a Stam is Yeyush. The question is which Stam Gneva Yeyush Bailim, Stam Gezela Yeyush Bailim, and the Gemara says that when we have Yeyush Bailim, then Machshava Mitama Asan. Then if someone were to steal raw material, which is not yet a kli, and he has in mind that it should be a kli, then that would already give it a status of a kli in terms of tumah. Something has to be a kli in order to be mekabel tumah, and the only one who can give the kli that status is the owner. And so the moment that the owner decides to use this particular item, this raw material, as a kli, machshava metamasan. So if a ganav or a gazlan, we say machshava metamasan, it means that yeyush is a kinyan, yeyush is kani, and allows for machshava metamasan. So lachora, that's a raya that yeyush is kone. So the gemara, so Rav Yosef is doche. We're talking about a case of katzan, that it's not a yeyush alone over there. We're talking about he took the raw material and he was makib patish. He did a certain shinui maase on the kli. He did a certain act. We're dealing over there with oros, with skins, and he cut them in a certain shape. So Gemara asks, but there is a form of using an or called utzva, and that utzva does not require katsia. It can be used even without the cutting. So we see that if the ganav has machshava that this raw material should be an utzva, should be like a footstool that doesn't require any maisa, the machshava of the ganav works because stam geneva yeyush bailim. So we see that yeyush is kinyan. So on this question, Rav Yosef thought for 22 years. It's hard for us to keep focused for a day, for an hour, for 5 minutes. Rav Yosef was focused on this question for 22 years. That there was a stira to Hishita from a Mishnah in Taharos. And how could he hold Yeish Kedilo Kani if we have this Mishnah? After 22 years, he came up with an answer that when the Ganav has in mind that this piece of leather should be a footstool, it works because there's Yeish and Shini Hashem. There's Yeish and Shinui Hashem. And that's why it works. Yeish alone doesn't work. Yeish and Shini Hashem works. So the Gemara asks, just a minute, who says that Shini Hashem is at all meaningful? We have a halacha of Meiresh that if a person takes a beam and puts it into, and puts it into his roof, there lachora you have a Shini Hashem. It was a log and now it's a beam. And yet the Gemara says the only reason that the Ganav can keep it in his house is because of a takonas hashavim. It's a totally separate type of a kinyan. We have a concept that Chazal wanted to make it easier for ganavim and gazlanim to do tshuva, and if we would tell them they would have to take apart their homes to be mekayim the mitzvah of a heshiv as hagzeila asher gazal, they would remain balei avera. But if we say just pay damim, they'd be willing to. And so that's a separate takana of takanas hashavim. Were shinui Hashem to be a shinui, why would we need a takanas hashavim? We have a shinui, and that takes off the mitzvah of the heshiv as hagzeila. So lechora, the fact that the Gemara brings in the world of takanas hashavim, doesn't that knock off the principle of Shini Hashem? So on that, the Gemara has two answers. One of Rav Yosef himself, and one of Rav Zeira. So Rav Yosef himself says that in the world of Meirush, there is no Shinui Hashem. That even before the log is put into the ceiling, it's already called the beam. Like we have in our Gemara, right? By Hoshana. The Asa and the Hoshana, that even when it's growing, it's not called a bush. It's called a sukkas hadas. And so over there also, there is no Shini Hashem. Were there to be a real Shini Hashem, like an ore that becomes an utzva, then we would say that would be a kinyan. But in Meirush, there's no Shini Hashem. That's why I have to come on to takonas hashavim. And Rabbi Zeira over there in the Gemara says no. There is Shini Hashem, but it's a Shini Hashem Achozo Libriyoso, and a Shini Hashem Achozo Libriyoso Lo Shma Shinui. Okay. With that background, now Tosa says, Tema, Ha Amrinan, we just said in the Gemara in the previous line, in the world of Avankari, where the Gemara asked, let the Avankari be Kone, the Arba Minim, with a Shini Maaseh, with the Igud, by putting the four Minim together. And they answered that that's a Shini Achozo Libriyoso, a Shini Achozo Libriyoso Lo Shmei Shinui. And then the Gemara comes and asks, L'knine v'Shini Hashem. But according to Rabbi Zeira, Shini Hashem Achozo Libriyoso is also not a Shinui. So why is the Gemara bringing in Shini Hashem if we already have the answer staring us in the face? Tema ha'amrino Shini Ma'is Achozo Libriyoso Lo Shma Shinui Hu Adin Shini Hashem Kin Mimaruba Gabei Merish. That's the Shita of Rabbi Zeira. So Tosus over here has two answers. To answer number one is that Yeshlamar the Parachach Aliba de Rav Yosef the Masikasam Shinu Yachrina, that once Rav Yosef in the Gemara Bakama did not give Rabbi Zeira's answer, Rav Yosef said that really in the case of Meirush there is no Shinui at all. Not that there's a Shini Hashem but Chozo Libriyoso. There was never a Shini Hashem. Why did Rav Yosef say that? Because he holds that Shinui Hashem, HaChozer Libriyoso, does work. Namely, that there's a difference between Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem. That's the first Teirutz. V'od yesh lomar, the Shinui Hashem, deleko Shinui Maisa v'hadei lo koni b'chozer Libriyoso k'gomer. So when you have a pure Shinui Hashem, that would not work if it's Chozer Libriyoso. But in the world of Igud, in our sugya, where we have a Shinui Hashem that we can add in a small Shinui Maisa, that already would work. Namely, a Shinui Hashem Shechoz Libriyoso alone in a vacuum, that's not Shemei Shinui. That's what the Gemara points out by Meirush. But when you have a Shinui Hashem Achoz Libriyoso with a small Shinui, then that would work. The Gemara over there brings in the world of Utzva. Isn't that also a Shinui Hashem HaChozer Libriyoso? It's all done via Machshava. If it's done via Machshava, I can want the skin to be a footstool, and then I can want it to go back and be a skin. So it's Chozer Libriyoso, and yet over there, according to Rav Yosef, it works. So we say over there you have a Shinui Hashem HaChozer Libriyoso plus Yeyush. Namely, that the two terutzim in Tosfos distinguish between Shinui Maaseh HaChozer Libriyoso and Shinui Hashem HaChozer Libriyoso. And on two different planes. The first terutz in Tosfos says that even though a Shinui Maaseh HaChozer Libriyoso is meaningless, a Shinui Hashem HaChozer Libriyoso is meaningful. Why would, in other words, could you just give the svara within Tosfos? Why distinguish? If both of them are Chozer Libriyoso, why would the Shini Maisa be meaningless and the Shini Hashem be meaningful in the first Teretz? That's the first Teretz of Tosfos, correct? That here we're working to Rav Yosef, who disagrees with Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira holds Shini Hashem Achoz Libriyoso, Eino Shinoi. Rav Yosef disagrees. V'horaya, by Utzva, it's also a Shini Hashem Achoz Libriyoso, and it works. That was the answer he gave after 22 years. He wasn't going to give an answer after 22 years that would be easily knocked off. Right? And he said that Meirish does no Shini Hashem. Maybe if we just were to give a mashal hedyot, Shini Maisa Achoz Libriyoso is playing Lego. Namely, you build an entire building, and then you tell the kids time to go, and they simply put everything back into the box. It was a Shini Maisa, right? It was blocks, and they're all set built into the building. And Achoz Libriyoso, right? In other words, a half hour later, it's back totally as blocks. That is simply, in other words, a meaningless, a halachically meaningless process to go through a Shini Maisa, which is Achoz Libriyoso, does not in any way change the Lego blocks from what they were. They were blocks, they remain blocks. We just had an illusion for a period of time that it was a building, but it was just an illusion. V'haraya, it goes back to being blocks. Masha'en came, when we're dealing with a Shini Hashem, Hachoze Libriyoso, namely, I took leather and I turned it into a footstool, and whenever someone came into the room, I said, look at my footstool. So even though in Achinami, I can then decide I'm going to turn it back into leather, but what did I do when I said it was a footstool? What did I accomplish conceptually? I gave it an identity. I gave it an identity. And giving something an identity is already meaningful. Namely, if I'm working off of the fact that the pieces are now, have changed, the pieces have changed, there was a Shini Maisa. The reality is the pieces haven't changed at all. In other words, the pieces remain pieces. So on the level of Shini Maisa, which we're dealing with a physical change, there was no physical change. But if I'm not dealing on the level of material change, I'm dealing in a world of Plato, I'm dealing in a world of concepts, I'm dealing in a world of identities. So the moment I give something an identity, that could be meaningful, even if later on I decide that I want to change the identity. But that temporary identity had meaning. In other words, in the world of concepts, simply we're dealing in two different realms. In the world of action, a temporary act has no meaning. In the world of concepts, a temporary concept has a meaning. Yes?
It seems like it's a bit of an arbitrary difference between the two of them. Meaning, you know, if someone has a nickname for a month and his identity in camp is in camp I'm not Shua, I'm Josh, and then, camp ends, I'm no longer Josh, I'm now back to Shua. It's the same thing of like the Lego, which was just random pieces who have now built into this, it's manifest. It seems like the difference between Shinoi Shem and Shinoi Maisa is one Shem and one is Maisa, is sort of the.
I agree with you that it's not a necessary distinction, but I think that there is a distinction. In other words, one can say that just like that on the physical plane, there is no meaningful change when playing Lego, that the pieces always were pieces all along, just that they were stacked up in a certain manner. So you could also say that having a temporary identity is meaningless. However, one could say no, that in the world of concepts, a temporary identity has a meaning, namely that even though you go back to being Shua, right, but in certain people's mind's eye, you remain Josh. In other words, they know you only in the context of camp.
Like it doesn't naturally lend itself to that, to this distinction, other than the fact that Tosa says that this is a possible distinction.
No, I don't think so. I think even had Tosafot not said it, we could have said it.
I mean, if Shakespeare was around and tell us, you know, a rose if named by any other name would smell sweet instead of a
That we could have a machlokas rishonim, we could have a machlokas rishonim, and that we're going to see. Tosfos and Baba Kama Benet disagrees, but within Tosfos here, the first day of Tosfos is that in the world of Shini Hashem, we're dealing with in a different realm, a realm of identity, and in the realm of identity, a temporary identity is meaningful, as opposed to in the world of physicality, a temporary change is meaningless. That's, in other words, that I think is something that we can speak about. However, the second area of Tosfos is a little less neat, because what does it say? It says that a shinui maaseh shechozer libriyoso is not going to work at all, even if we link it in with a shinui, with another weak kinyan like yeush or like yeush, let's say, for example. However, a shini Hashem can hachoz libriyoso on its own inachinami won't work, but if we combine it with a shinui maaseh katan or a yeush, then it already would work. What over here underlies Tosfos, as opposed to the first Teretz? What is similar in the second Teretz, and what is different in the second Teretz?
What's similar is that identity really matters. That if by giving something identity without changing the actual physical makeup, it can make a difference, but it's just not enough.
Okay, in other words, that what's similar is, let's start on the other side, that a shini ma'iseh ha'chozer libriyoso is lego is meaningless. That's the same in both terutzim. What about the change in identity? So over here, as Yoni points out, we have a distinction. In the first terutz, a change of identity on its own is considered to be a kinyan, even a temporary change of identity. Ma'she'enkin, in the second terutz of Tosfos, a temporary change of identity is more than a temporary change in physicality. It's more, but it's not enough. Namely, it goes beyond playing Lego, but it's not enough to be a kinyan. But if we can combine this weak change with another weak change that would be enough on its own, then that combination would work. And yeish on its own wouldn't work. Yeish, according to Rav Yosef, yeish and the shini mais shini Hashem achoz libriyoso would work. Shini maise katan, a very very slight change, would not be enough. But the shini maise katan with the shini Hashem, that would be enough. Namely, that we're not viewing temporary change of identity as having meaning per se, but we are viewing it as being able to link in with another shinui to create a kinyan. And then Tosfos continues, v'hashta necha, that now we have the ability of distinguishing between two realms, between the realm of eino chozer libriyoso and the realm of chozer libriyoso. That when we're dealing with a shinui maise she eino chozer libriyoso, a permanent shini maisa and a permanent shini Hashem, what is the relationship between these two?
They're both kona
independently. Both of them are independently kona. The only time that we have a distinction between shini maisa and shini Hashem is in the case of chozer libriyoso. And the question is there a way of understanding why, on the level, again, this relates to what Shua asked previously, on the level of changes that are not chozer libriyoso, when we're dealing with permanent changes, we view a permanent change of identity as being the equivalent of a permanent change of physicality. That these are independent kinyanim. When it comes to the world of Choser L'Briyah, so there we distinguish. Either we distinguish that one works totally and that doesn't work at all, or one works to, you know, it's along with other factors and the other one doesn't work at all. Why would we distinguish between the world of a permanent change and the world of a temporary change? Why would we say that on the level of permanent change, we view them as equivalents? And the world of temporary change, there, we view them as we distinguish between them. Okay, in other words, one could go in that direction. That's the direction that we went up to this point. That's correct. But I'd like to just take it one step further in terms of the Reb Chaim that I pointed out to you in the Chibur, that Reb Chaim points out that we can speak about Shinui in two different realms. We could speak about Shinui in the realm of Kinyane Gezela, that the Gazlan has certain rights, and he has certain. The moment he does a Maisa Gezela, he has already weakened the ownership of the previous owner, as we saw that it's no longer in the Rishus of the previous owner. He's done an act that weakens the previous owner, and he has the ability of doing certain actions that are going to turn him into the owner of this object. In other words, that there is a concept of kinyan zeil. And then there's another realm that we have a mitzvah of a heishev es hagzeila asher gazal. Namely, the question is, the world of Shinui can impact on two different aspects of the world of the Ganav. Either that the world of Shinui can serve to give him a sense of full ownership of the object that he stole. It will be mashlim, if you want to, the kinyan gzela. It'll be mashlim the maisa gzela. That when a person steals something, he weakens the ownership of the original owner. When he does a kinyan, when there's a certain shinui, then that brings it under his ownership and only has to pay money. Or it could work in a different realm, and that is that we have a mitzvah of returning a stolen object, but we only have to return the stolen object if it's a stolen object, if it's Kain Shigazal. If it's no longer Kain Shigazal, then the mitzvah of Hashava falls off. Namely, we can view Shinui as being potent in the world of Kinyan, or we can view Shinui as being important in the world of undermining the Heshiv Es Hagzela, undermining the mitzvah Saseh of Heshiv Es Hagzela. What is possible to say if we have these two realms? Does it have to be either or? That the Shinui is going to impact either in the world of Kinyan, of positively making it belong to the Ganav, or in the world of the Heshiv, of saying this is not the same object as the one that was stolen, doesn't have to be returned? Is there a way of having one's cake and eat it?
Can I repeat that?
Yes, I'm sorry. In other words, that one can ask a question, where does the world of Shinui impact? That there are two theoretical areas that the world of Shinui could impact. A, the Maisig Zela weakened the ownership of the previous owner. We can say that a Shinui, now that gives the Ganav total ownership. Namely, we're dealing in the world of who's the Bailim? Is the Bailim the Nigzal, or is the Bailim of the object the Gazlan? The moment it's the gazlan, so he doesn't have to return the object. He has to pay tashlum and doesn't have to return the object. Or we can say no, that really the gazlan never becomes the owner of the object. However, we have a mitzvah heishiv esagzela asher gazal, and maybe when there's a shinui, this is no longer the object asher gazal, and therefore it is no longer a mitzvah of a heishiv. Not because we have created a kinyan gzela, but because it's simply not the same object. There's a change in the object. It's not no longer in shigazal. Those are two theoretical realms shinui can fit in. Shinui can be that which would be the makir b'patish in the kinyan, give the gazlan ownership, or shinui can be that which removes the mitzvah hashava.
The mitzvah shalim gemara is
both. Fine. It could. Simple shalim in the gemara is that it's both. But to understand our Tosfos, who wants to distinguish between permanent shinuyim, that we're going to have standard X, and temporary shinuyim, we're going to have standard Y, that in permanent shinuyim, shini Hashem and shini Maisa are equal. And in the world of temporary change, we're going to distinguish between shini Maisa and shini Hashem. That's what Tosfos says. I'm asking, could this framework that we just mentioned help us to understand why we would view the relationship between shini Maisa and shini Hashem in one way when we're dealing with permanent changes, and in another way when we're dealing with temporary changes?
But a temporary change is where it would not the Torah, I guess, of the Heshus Exela wouldn't really work for a temporary change. Exela is still there.
Excellent. Namely, that it could very well be that if we're dealing with the first realm of making a kinyan, giving the gazlan ownership, so then a permanent change is going to be meaningful for that kinyan. Something which is going to remain. That's going to be so then we'll say, my nafka means the permanent change is a shinui in the realm of physicality, or the permanent change in the realm of identity. There's a permanent change. There, shinui maisa and shinui Hashem, when enochor zelibriyaso, are totally equivalent. However, it could be that even though a temporary change is not going to create a kinyan, but a temporary change could remove the din of Veheshev as Hagzela, that a temporary change is going to tell us this is no longer Ke'en Shegazal. And there, as was pointed out, there already could be a distinction between a temporary change of Lego that is totally meaningless and a temporary change of identity that could be either meaningful on its own, or that could be meaningful along with Yeyush, meaningful along with Shinui Maise Katan. Namely, to say that we're dealing over here with two different realms. We're working in two different realms. In the world of Kinyanim, that's the world of Enocho Zelibriyoso. There we're going to have an equivalency between, or an identity, or an equality between Shinui Maise and Shinui Hashem. However, in the world of the Heshiva Sagzela Asher Gazal, Im Ke'en Shegazal Yaksir, Im Lav Lo Yaksir, there we could say that maybe even a temporary change would be enough, but it would have to be a temporary change in identity to make it a change in the Ke'en Shegazal, namely to be able to distinguish between the realms. And so that's what Tosis over here points out, Vahashta Yesh Kama Dinim Badavar, that we can distinguish in terms of different worlds. B'shinui Maisa She'eno Choser, V'chein B'shinui Hashem She'eno Choser, those are Kani Midoraisa, Afagav Dronis Yesh. Namely, those are Kinyanim. Those are Kinyanim Gzela that give the Gazlan ownership, and then he can do mitzvahs with it, he can sell it, he can buy it, he can be Makadish and Isha with it, etc. However, when we're dealing in the realm of Choser, then we would say that perhaps by Shinei Maisa Shechoser, that's irrelevant unless we're going to have a Takonas Hashavit. But the Shinui Hashem Shechoser, that, in other words, would already be relevant, even perhaps without the Takonas Hashavim, yes?
I think now I'm all switching my opinion from before. I wonder if it might make more sense to flip it, actually, that when we're talking shinoi maisa.
Yes.
Then not that the temporary changes, you might be able to be more yosef making those changes in terms of kinyan and affecting the kinyan than in terms of ruining the asher gazal aspect. Considering that it's something that is temporary, you might assume that the temporariness could, meaning asher gazal is still really with you, it's right there under the surface, and in any minute from now you can just change it back and you'd have what you're supposed to be returning would be in front of you. But if there is an identity change, and it itself is an identity, something different, then perhaps the kinyan right now could take place fully, because what you have right now is a full identity and a full kinyan that could be made. And then what happens later might not really matter.
Okay, I can go either way. In other words, I tend to feel that a kinyan requires more than removing a cane shaganav, but that it's just a feeling. I can't prove it one way or another. In other words, I'm just offering an approach that sometimes, you know, these chakiras that exist are many times viewed as either or. Well, what I'm trying to point out, Rav Lichtenstein was very strong about pointing out that we live in a very complex world, and things are not always either or. In other words, that maybe both are right, but within different realms. In any case, the bottom line of our Tosfos is that on the level of Eino Choz Libriyoso, Shini Hashem and Shini Maisa are one and the same. The only distinction between them is in the realm of Chozer Libriyoso. Yes?
In the realm of things that might be a little more complicated, we've been talking about the Tosfos Shita as that whether Shini Hashem or Shini Maisa, that's not Chozer. We'd be calling them equal.
Yes.
But does Tosfos really say that? He just says they function the same in terms of they both reach the level that we're looking for. But I think it's mistaber that if Shinei Hashem is weaker than Shinei Maisa, then like Shinei Hashem is also weaker. Just it's still strong enough to get done when you get done.
Tosfos, in other words, uses twice, in other words, an expression of equality. In other words, in the first line of Tosfos, so Amrinan Shini Maisa Chos Lebriyoso. I'm sorry. In other words, when he deals with the world of the Choser, of the Eino Chos Lebriyoso. I'm sorry. Vahashta Necha Hodika Amrinan Hosam. I'm really working off of the Sugya in Baba Kama. In the middle of Tosfos, he quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama, Amrinan Hosam Shini Hashem Kishini Maisa Dami. Uses the, in other words, that's right. That was where Yosef came up with after 22 years, that Shini Hashem Kishini Maisa Dami. And so what Tosfos says that even though I just got finished saying that they're not the same, that's in a world of Choser Libriyoso. But in a world of Eino Choser Libriyoso, they're the same. And then when he summarizes, he says, "V'hashli yish kama dinim b'davar shini ma'isa she'eino choser v'chein shini Hashem she'eino choser kani midoraisa."
I think if we're being meduic in the Tosfos, neither time did he say that they're the same. Dummy doesn't mean the same. Dummy means similar. And again, it's ke'ein. That means they function in legami. This din, they function in the same way. I just don't think it's fair to take for granted. The Tosfos hold that these are two marks, the same things. I think it's also not mashma from the Gemara in. If they were really the same, it wouldn't have taken reviewers like 22 years to answer this kasha. It's just not. It's like I just don't think.
Okay. So in other words, what Ben wants to say, and I accept the. You know, it's that they may not be the same, but they're equivalent. Yes.
Legabi this din.
Okay.
Not, like meaning they're both strong enough.
Right.
To get this done. That's what we know. They're both trying to get this done. That's all we know.
Okay. In other words, what Tosfos however pointed out in the first half of Tosfos is that even though the chiddush of Rav Yosef of 22 years was to create a category of Shini Hashem, mm-hmm. right? That once we created that category, it could be that it's more powerful than a Shini Maisa. Namely, you know, it began with an invention. We created a category called Shini Hashem. Once we created it, so in the realm of Eino Choser Libriyoso, they both work. In the world of Choser Libriyoso, once we created the category, it could be that a temporary change of identity is more meaningful than a temporary change of physicality. Temporary change of physicality is meaningless. Lego. Masha'ink and a temporary change of identity, there already, that's what that's pshat in our Gemara, that even though we just said that Shini Achoz Lebriyoso is Loshme Shinui, the next line of the Gemara is Likninu B'Shini Hashem, which is also Achoz Lebriyoso, but that appears to be a Havamina, which is powerful enough that the only way of getting rid of it is by saying there's no Shini Hashem.
I would have said differently. I would have said it's not that it's meaningless, it's not meaningful
enough
to enact it. And likewise, I would say when it comes to Shein Ochzilri also, so one is more meaningful than the other. But they both are meaningful enough.
Okay, I hear. Comparing our Tosfos to the Tosfos in Bakama, so we have two Tosfos in Bakama. So the first Tosfos works off of what Ben said. In other words, it's Ben's makor with the kaf hadimyon and the dummy, that when Rav Yossi says shini Hashem kishini ma'ise dummy, lav kishini ma'ise mamush, he never meant it as an equation. The shini ma'ise l'chudei kani k'nemuch achra'el gabi gona v'tavach, etc. However, avo shini Hashem greida lo kani b'lo yeyush uf shini ma'ise, that shini Hashem was never meant to be independent. It can only, it's a weak kinyan by nature, and it can only work along with other kinyan. Tosfos Payas clearly disagrees. It could be he agrees in principle that it's not an equation, but in terms of how to compare, and Tosfos Payas, they both work independently, even if one of them is a quasi-Kinyan, the other one is a real Kinyan, but they both work independently, as opposed to Tosfos in Bava Kamma, the first Tosfos, who says that one of them requires a helping hand. Then the second Tosfos over there really brings in both Deos, that the Gemara, the second Deya in Tosfos points out, Halav Hachi Hadra Be'enei, that had there not been a takonas hashavim, then the meirish would have been had to be taken out of the house. V'stam meirish kevin shibeno bebira misyashim abalim imenu. V'im tomar demashma de lo makshe ela l'Rav Yosef adra b'kol shekein dekoshe l'rabba tvei d'lidide yeyush greida kani ulamay demeshani demeirish shmo alav akate tikshi l'rabba d'hocha mashma de yeyush lo kone. We must be talking according to Rabbi without Yeyush. Ulahachi parachel Rav Yosef. I amris bishlama shini Hashem lo krumhu shapir. That's why we need the tekanas hashavim. Ela I amris shini Hashem katan im Yeyush kani im kain. Shini Hashem gadol ki hay demerush yeshlo liknoso bifnei atzmo vechein mashma leel the shini Hashem chashuv greida kani. Namely, that this first teretz of Tosfos is our Tosfos. That when we're dealing on the level of a Shini Hashem Godol, a Shini Hashem Godol, which is irreversible, like Tale V'Nase Ayil, right? That's, you know, its growth is a one-way process. An irreversible Shini Hashem is the halachic equivalent of an irreversible Shini Maisa, that they both work independently. That's our Tosfos. And then Va'odye Shlomar moves back to the Tosfos on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. Va'odye Shlomar, the Bechol Mokom Haveshini Hashem Greida Koni Rav Yosef, Odye Shlomar, the Bechol Mokom Haveshini Hashem Greida Koni Rav Yosef Belo Yeyush, Ulakach Yesh Lo Hoel Be Yeyush Belo Meirish, the Mashatzarach Yeyush Be'oros, Lav Mishum Kinyan, the kinyan have mishum shini Hashem lechude hayeish ein tzarech el kedei sheyoil makshevis yichudo l'shavye avazran v'im rav hayeish ein kan shini Hashem v'chein hekdesh. It's not the equivalent of the Tosfos on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. It's sort of an in-between cheetah that we could say that shini Hashem is a kinyan, shini Hashem again, which is a one-way street, would be a kinyan, but it would require a condition of Yeyush to allow it to work. That the Shini Hashem takes place because of the Shini Hashem takes place because we are giving certain rights to Gazlan, that the Gazlan has the right to make the Shini Hashem. The right to make the Shini Hashem requires Yeyush, to give the Gazlan that right. In other words, again, Yeyush is not a Kinyan. Yeyush allows the Gazlan then to make the Shini Hashem, to make the object an utzva, to make it hektesh, and so similar to Tosus and Das Samach Vav Amud Beis, it's a weaker kinyan than Shini Maisa, but it's a weaker kinyan. But in other words, but it's not as though we have like Tosus by us says that we have two weak kinyanim working. A shinu Hashem and Yeyush. No, the Yeyush is a tnai for the Shini Hashem. The Yeyush gives the Gazlan an ability to give a status. Once the Gazlan gives that status, then we have the Shini Hashem. But without that, we don't. The Shini Hashem doesn't get off the ground. So what? Just to summarize what we have is that firstly we have to distinguish between the world of Shini Achoze Libriyasa to Shini She'eno Choze Libriyasa. When we're dealing with the Shini She'eno Choze Libriyasa, a permanent change, so Rav Yosef is Mechadish to us that Shini, just as a permanent Shini Maisa is a Kinyan independently, so also a permanent change is a Kinyan is a Kinyan as well. Does that mean it's on the same plane or not? So Tosus by us says it's on the same plane. I'm trying to use to be sensitive to Ben, not say that they're the equivalent. They both work independently on, in other words, and in that respect they're similar. Masha'en Kein Tosus in Baba Kama Das Hamach Vav Amud Beis says no, that Shini Hashem, even the Shini Hashem Gadol, is always going to need a helping hand. It's always going to work along with Yeyush, along with Shini Maisa Katan. It's never going to work independently. Tosus Babakam Das Samach Zayin Med Aleph, the first Teretz is like Tosus by us. The second Teretz says that it can work independently, but it requires a Tnai Kodim L'Maaseh. It requires a condition that it follow upon Yeyush rather than not following upon Yeyush. When we move over to the realm of the Shini Achoser Libriyaso, there we have the paradoxical situation that even though Shini Hashem is a created category, Rav Yosef created it, Yesh Me'ayin, to solve a problem that he had in a Rishis of Taros, and we have a question, when you create this independent category, is it the same as Shini Maisa or not? On the realm of Choser Libriyaso, can it be more powerful? It could even be more powerful. And perhaps it could work on its own. Perhaps it can work along with other kinyanim. Masha'en Kein, the Shini Maisa Choz L'Briyoso doesn't get off the ground. One way of understanding that, as Yoni pointed out, is that in the realm of concepts, temporary concepts have meaning. In the realm of actions, a temporary action is just a figment of our imagination. Or you could say that perhaps we're dealing over here in two different realms within the world of Gzela, that a Shinui can empower the Ganav in one of two ways, either by giving him Kinyanim or by removing the Mitzvah Hashava, and perhaps one of those realms would be permanent changes, and the other realm, even a temporary change, would be enough. I felt that the permanent change would be more meaningful would be the world of Kinyan, and the temporary change would be the world of Kain Sheganaz, Kagazal, and Shui, who is called Shui in our context, it felt that the other way around, that one can say that in the world of Kinyanim, their temporary changes could be meaningful, while in the world of Kain Sheganav, you need more of a permanent change. I have no hachra one way or another. Okay. Tov, let's move over to the sugi over here in Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara brings in the world of Sukkah Gzula v'Masachech v'Shus HaRabim. Rav Eliezer posochem machshirim. Amar Rav Nachma achokes kishetokef es chaver votzio misukaso. Rav Eliezer letame. Do amar ein adam yotze yedei chavaso besukaso shel chavero. That this we already saw back on Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Beis. And then the Gemara takes two options. I karka nigzelas suka gezulahi. Vinami karka in nigzelas suka sheulahi. As opposed to Rabbanon, who say that Amri Adam Yosef Yosef Shel Chaveiro, Karka Eina Nigzelas V'Suka She'ulahi. In other words, the Rabbanan Shita appears to be clear that we have no problem of Gezel because Karka Eina Nigzelas. We have no problem of Sha'ul because we have no Gzeres HaKosov against Sha'ul. Lehechav, we have Gzeres HaKosov of Kol HaEzrach to include Sha'ul, so everything is fine. And Rav Eliezer, we have two ways of understanding. Either to understand that Suka Nigzeles, and we have a problem of Gzula, and even if Suka ain't a Nigzeles, so according to Rav Eliezer, we have a problem of Sheula. Ainan am Yotzi b'zukas or Shachaveiro. Both Rashi and Tosas point out that Lechora, the Gemara, has no need to give two options within Rav Eliezer. We know what Rav Eliezer holds in Baba Kama. He holds that Karka Nigzelet. And so why does the Gemara over here offer the two options? So Tosa says, Rotza liyashev dvarav b'chol inyan. Okay. Rashi, however, gives a much more gives a very, very meaningful explanation. Why did the Gemara over here offer the two options? Couldn't we have simply solved the problem by saying that Suka Nigzelet, it's a Suka Gzula? What does the Gemara want to teach us?
That he holds
that Suka Shula is also no good. That's a tremendous chiddush that he holds. In other words, that the Gemara is pointing out that Rav Eliezer has these two shitos. Each of them alone is enough to solve our problem. But in other words, we could solve our problem by saying that Karka Nigzelas. We could solve our problem by saying that a Suka Shula is no good. Rav Eliezer holds of both of these shitos. Why? In other words, I don't know whether Tosas didn't have Rashi in front of him, the Rashi that we have. Like why give a weak teretz of covering all bases when the Chavar Rashi already gave us a very strong teretz? I looked in the... Did you find anything?
No, I was very bothered by it. I didn't get a chance to...
Okay, I looked around, in other words, through all the... I figured you would probably ask this question. In other words, I'm sorry, the Pnei Yoshua probably asked this question. There are those we showed that you sort of look at when you have difficult Tosas. No one was bothered by it. No one. The only issue in the Maharshal was the order of the Gemara. Do you start off with Ikarka and Exelos? Start off with Ikarka and Exelos. But aside from that, I don't know. I don't know why Tosfos over here said what he said after Rashi wrote what he wrote. But what is very, very powerfully missing in these lines that we read. In light of the sugya that we saw from Daf Kaftes and Beis to Laman and Beis, is what? What's missing in this entire sugya? Mitzvah Babavera. Okay, fine. According to Rabbanan, we have over here a Sukkah Sheula, but we're dealing with Hatokef, in other words, Chaveiro Vahotzio Mi Sukkaso. We're dealing with this is called a Sukkah Gzula. We're dealing with a Maisa Gzela in this situation, with a very, very powerful form of illegal use of force. What happened to the world of Mitzvah Baba Avera? So here we have two directions in the Rishonim. What's the easiest? Well, firstly, maybe three directions. What does the Baal HaMo'ar prove from our Gemara? And the fact that our Gemara left out Mitzvah Baba Avera, that we don't hold a Mitzvah Baba Avera. Nachon, it's a machlokes. Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai against Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak. This Gemara is a proof that we don't hold a Mitzvah Baba Avera. The Gemara simply left it out. Kind of, we don't hold of it. However, if we don't want to take that approach, and neither the Ritvor nor the Ravid wanted to take that approach, so then what approaches are available to us?
The Ritva.
Fine. Which the Ritva says two things. Which are you referring? Right. So we have what we call the Shita of Tosfos in Psachim. We don't have it in Tosfos. We have the Ramban quotes it in Psachim. The Ritva quotes it in Psachim, that we pointed out that in the phrase Mitzvah Haba Ba'avera, we can deal with three issues: which mitzvah, what is ba'a, and what type of avera. So the ba'a over here is clear, a cause and effect, that because this fellow pushed someone else out of his sukkah, so we have, he's going into the sukkah. It's clearly a cause and effect. We have a ba'a. do we have the right form of mitzvah? So there, you're 100% correct, that even though we, namely Tosfos by us, Paskins, that mitzvah ba'aver applies to all mitzvos, what was the sheet of Tosfos in Psachim, which is the Ramban and the Ritva, etc.? To which mitzvah does it apply? Only mitzvahs ritzui, which are korban, is the ideal, right?
Lulav
and shofar, right? That those are the mitzvos of ritzui. There we have a din mitzvah of avera. That it's a contradiction in terms. You can't ask favors from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by slapping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face. Ma'ashein kein other mitzvos, and in other words, the fact that they coincide with averos are not impacted. And that explains the sugya on Daf Tes, why in Sukkah Gzula, mitzvah b'avera is not mentioned. However, if we don't want to take that approach, if we want to assume that we have mitzvah b'avera even by Sukkah, so then what approach is alternative? Not stressing the mitzvah, but stressing the avera. Namely what?
There's no maisa avera?
We have a maisa avera, but we don't have... We don't have a cheftza hagzula, right? And we distinguish between like the Yerushalmi, between avar avera and avera gufa. That this person pushed someone else out of his sukkah. That's a maisa avera. But there's no shame gozul on the sukkah. That's the ritva, right? That the ritva, after pointing out tirtzu, that it only applies to mitzvahs of ritzu, he says, we have the Yerushalmi that it applies to matzah as well. Ava nachon, three lines from the bottom of the Ritva Tanu Rabbanan, the hocha kevan de lokani leklal ubirshusei demari isa veina mitzah motziyasa mishus ba'aleh lo chashiva habikiilu hayesasada da'alma gezula birshuso afal pish avera biyado ein asuka nifselas bekach. That we don't have a shame gozul on the sukkah. We have a maisa avera of the gavra. It doesn't hit into the cheftza. So the Gemara then says, Aval, in a case of Gozal Eitzim Vesikech Bohem, Divrei Hakol, Ein Lo, Ela Dimei Eitzim. That in this case, he's certainly Yotze the Mitzvah of Sukkah. Certainly he's Yotze the Mitzvah of Sukkah. On the case of the previous case, we have Machlokas Rav Eliezer and Rabbana. But in this case, certainly he's Yotze. So why then did we set up the previous case as in the manner that we did? But in the case of Gozal Eitzim Vesikech Bohem, there everyone agrees he's Yotze. But Lechora, isn't that a case of Metaltalim? And in a case of Metaltalim, don't we have an Iser of Gzela Lekuliyama? And in an Iser of Gzela Lekuliyama, don't we have a Shem Gozal on the Cheftza? And so what happened to Mitzvah Baba Vera in the world of Gozal Eitzim Vesikech Bahem? According to the Baal HaMor, QED. This proves our case. According to Rashi is a case of overkill. What does Rashi say we have over here? Avo Gozal Eitzim Vesikech Bahem? Okay, once we have Shini Maisa and Shini Hashem, so then this works, if you recall, according to the Ri, the moment we have a Kinyan in Dine Mamanos, this Onga Mitzvah Bavera, and even Rabbeinu Tam, who says that when something is yours with Dine Mamanos, it still has a history, that's if it's yours via Yeyush. But if it's yours via Shini Maisa, or Shini Hashem, or Shini Rishus, that's already a total change. Ponim Chadoshos Baal Lekan, and therefore even Rabbeinu Tam would agree. Okay, that's Rashi is making an assumption that Gozal Eitzim Vesikech Bahem, there's a Shini Maisa and a Shini Hashem. Who disagrees with Rashi? Again, so according to Rashi, there's no question. But who disagrees with Rashi? Which Tosfos? Tosfos appears to disagree. Does it mention Shini Maisa and Shini Hashem? Only Takonas Hashavim. Who else only mentions Takonas Hashavim?
The Ritva.
The Ritva only mentions Takonas Hashavim. So we'll come back to the Tosfos first, but let's just look in the Ritva. Af agav de mi de oraisa psula, de haleka ela yeyush, velo kanye, vatora amra taselacha mishalcha, hashta de tikun rabbanon begozel meirushu beno'o, that we have a concept of takonas hashavim, then, now, we have that solves the problem. That solves the problem. We have lachem. Okay, we have lachem because of takonas hashavim, but what about mitzvah baba veira? So the Ritva answers lishita. So the Ritva answers lishita. So that when did mitzvah baba veira hecho de lo kani le mekami mitzvah? However, over here we have the kinyan. We have the, in other words, that once we have a kinyan, the ritva holds like the ri, and everything is fine. We have a kinyan. However, we have to deal with how would Rabbeinu Tam understand this sugya. Assuming that Rabbeinu Tam is like the ritva, like Tosus over here, aval, that there's no shini ma'isa necessarily, and there's no shini Hashem necessarily when you steal schach and put it on your sukkah. It's not meaningful. All we have over here is a takanas hashavim. But Rabbeinu Tam himself says that when we have a kinyan of yeyush that works mida oraisa, we still have a mitzvah babavera. Here we have a takonas hashavim that works midrabanan. Why don't we have a mitzvah babavera? Namely, that which removes mitzvah babavera according to Rabbeinu Tam is a change, a shini maisa, a shini shushus, a shini Hashem, some change. Here we have no change. Here we have no change. And the fact that there is a kinyan, takonas hashavim, so what? Yeish is also a kinyan. Yeish is also a kinyan. Who, to a certain degree, already asks this question and points out that we have over here a tremendous chiddush. To a certain degree, this is Tosus over here on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. When Tosus on Daf Lamed Amud Beis says Shini Achoz L'Briyosa Losh Meshinui, Afagav Dekoni Midrabanan, that's not going to be enough. We have our Gemara of Takonas Hashavim. Takonas Hashavim is different. Takonas Hashavim is different. That even though we have, in other words, that normal Kinyanim would not necessarily remove the issue of Mitzvah Ba'Aveira. However, Takonas Hashavim is going to remove the issue of Mitzvah Ba'Aveira. What in the world is going on over here? Why should Takonas Hashavim be more powerful then Yeyush within Rabbeinu Tam, Shini Achozo Libriyoso, who works Midrabanan, according to Tosfos, that in these situations we say the Shem Gozel remains. But in Takonas Hashavim, we're saying that Paka Shem Gozel, yes?
It's a question of what's the mechanism of Takonas Hashavim, how does it work? So we could imagine that the Takana was such that Chazal took away this property from the original Baal, gave it to the Ganov, and created a Chov. And that's the way it works. And so once Chazal say that, we give Chazal the power to decide who owns what. And once Chazal say that, then this really is his thing at this point.
Okay, so this is very good. It's what you're saying, I think, is true. I just would like to give it a little more halachic framework. What the Rav did in the Rishimos, working off of a Rambam and Reb Chaim. Look for a minute at the Rambam in Hilchos Gezela, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Kol Hagozel Eschavero Shave Pruta, Over Belo Tasa. Sheneemar, Lo Tigzol. Ve'ein Lokin Alavze, Shaharei Akosud Nitkola Asei, Shim Gozal, Chayev Lahachzir. Sheneemar, Veheshiv Zagzela Sher Gozal. Zo mitzvot asay. Vafilu Saraf Hagazela. And then Hashava is impossible. Eino loke. Sherehu Chayav Lushalem Dameha. Vecholava Nitan Litashlumin. Ein loken alav. how many how do you understand the relationship between the world of Heshivas Hagzela Asher Gazal and the world of Tashlumin? Are these one and the same? Pashas are two different dinim because they have within the Rambam two different categorizations. That when we have a world of a heshiv, then we call Dela Alav Anitak La'aseh. When we have a world of Tashlumin, then we call Gezela a Lav Anitam L'Tashlumin. Namely, that these are different tracks, they're not one and the same. Reb Chaim says this not Al Atar, but in Perek Tes, when we dealt in the world of Avadim, that we pointed out that even though Avadim, there's no Gzeil in Avadim, but there is a Veda in Avadim, Reb Chaim points out, I just quoted a few lines from the section over there in Perek Tes, Hare de Mechaleka Rambam, de Isa le Gzeil, Eino lo ke mishum da have lava nita kla asei, Ubelesa le Gzeil, when it's not around, lo lo ke mishum da have lava nita nita shlumen, Mavur de Sfirle de tre chiyuvi bifne atzba ninu, Chiyuv hashavas etzem ha-gzeila, hu mikra de veheshivas ha-gzeila, v'chiyuv tashlumin mishalo dehu, kishein ha-gzeila kayemes, hu mikra de v'shile. We have totally separate psukim. Mekor ha-dvar me'asugya de makos, the Gemara asked, don't we have a world of gezel, which is a world of lav anitak la'asei? And the answer, but in Gezel we have a separate chiyuv of Tashlumin, so we see that we have over there two different chiyuvim, a chiyuv of a heshev et hagzela and a chiyuv of Tashlumin. Now, what does it mean when we say in the world of Takanas Hashavim, the language of Ein Alav, Ein Lo Ella Demei Eitzim? Ein, what happened to the heshev et hagzela? How did Chazal disappear the world of a Heshiv Es Hagzeil? Is this?
They made it
a different thing.
So, in other words, so
it's being Hefker wouldn't be enough because it has to not be the Gzeil anymore. So Chazal is saying this is not the Gzeil anymore. It's a new rule. It's, you know, we have all these rules of. And I have these various shinuyim. New shinuyim, the Chazal
are over time. Okay, so I think certainly everything you're saying is valid, and I'm going to bring you a proof text to what you're saying from a Meiri, but I'll just say how the Rav formulated it, and that's also a day in the Meiri. The Rav formulated it that in the world of let's return for a moment to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Let's say with Rabbeinu Tam that a person stole a lulav. Okay? He stole a lulav and he paid for it, but he kept the lulav. And there was Yeish Bailin. But he kept the lulav and he wants to use it. Can he use it? According to Rabbeinu Tam, person stole a lulav, the owner is misyayish. The guy, in other words, is, you know, pays for the lulav. He just wants the lulav. He pays the owner for the lulav. He's mekayim the mitzvah of tashlumin. But he still has the lulav in his hands.
Probably not.
And we hold that yeyush is kona. And we hold yeyush is kona.
Right.
According to Rabbeinu Tam. B'chol zot,
Rabbeinu
Tam still says no, that even if there is no mitzvah of a heshiv, what is there on this object? What status is this object? It's a shame gozel. This is a lulav gozel. And a lulav gozel you can't use. What would be the way that he could use it theoretically? If you were to do shini maisa, a shini hashem, shini rishus, give it to someone else, they could use it. But he can never use it because he has a shame gozel on this object. Came along Takanas Hashavim, and Rabbeinu and Chazal said that when you pay for the object, it's considered to be the Heshiv Es Hagzela Asher Chazal. Namely, they weren't mafkia the mitzvah of the Heshiv. What they did was that they replaced it. They said, we'll view the money as the object. That when you pay for the object, then we'll view that as though you returned the object. Once it's as though you returned the object, then there's no longer a shen gozel on the object. That's not what Ben is saying. Right? That's not what Ben is saying. Right? And we said, according to the Rav, that we would only use this principle of gozel eitzim v'sikech bahem ein lo ela demei eitzim if he pays the demei eitzim. When he pays the demei eitzim, then we view it as though he returned the eitzim. Once we view it as though he returned the eitzim, so that which is currently on the sukkah does not have a shame gozel.
It's not a migmar anyway.
What?
It's not a migmar.
It's in, but look at the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, umikol makom, you have it? Kol shekana es ha'eitzim, im b'shinui ma'aseh, then af b'lo yeyush. That'll work. Im b'shinui ha'shemu b'yeyush. That also works. O mishum takonas hashavim kagon shechibra bekarka. That assuming that we're dealing over here, we turn these eitzim into part and parcel of a sukkah, and then we have a takonas hashavim. V'nischayev bedamim yesh omrim sheyotzehu af shelopara ritzon olomar shekolzman sheyifra yotzehu lemafreya iname hoel v'chov heim alav yotze. Kamosha Amru by the woman with Soveach to the Reish Galusa. And that Rav Nachman said, Ein Lela Demi Eitzim, Almaronifra Adayim, Umikomakom Yeshom, the Koldelo Paralo Yotza. Vayisisa wrote him, How you lead ten at the Dummim, Veloyasarot Salitlam, Elayat Sovachas Litoles Eitzah. That we have over here three Shitos within the Me'iri. What is the ukimta of takanas hashavim? According to one shita, which is the Rav, right? Only once you pay the money, then you are kona the eitzim. That would be the shita of the Rav, right? That when you pay the money, it's as though you return the object, etc. Then we have the shita of Ben, that the fact is that you owe the money means that the money is a side element that you owe, and Rabbanan were mafkia the chiyuv of tashlumin. And the third is that when you pay the money, then you're going to be yotzi l'mafreya. Right, those are the three shitas. No,
the second one.
Does Me'iri separate the first and the third?
The first again. He says yeshom she yotzehu af shelo para ritzoto lomar. Kolzman sheyifra yotze hula mafre. The order of the Me'iri is the third in that I said.
Right.
The order of the Me'iri is first a yotze mafreya, secondly is Ben, and the third one is the Rav. That only when you are poreya then you're yotze, and if you're not poreya during Sukkis, and that's the woman didn't want to accept the money. Namely, the avadim of the Reish Galusa wanted to pay her, and she didn't want to take the money. In other words, and then that was her means of blackmail. In other words, that you're only going to be yotze with the sukkah if I take the money. I don't want to take the money. I want my eitzim, and then it would not work. Okay, so again, if we say that like Ben, there's absolutely no need to pay. Payment is payment, and over here the takanas hashavim is mafkia the chiyuv hashava. Mafkia the chiyuv hashava. Once there's no longer a chiyuv hashava, then we can't speak about a shem gozel on the object. The other extreme is that without payment, there is never going to we cannot remove the shem gozel without payment. The payment is going to be the equivalent of actually the hashava. When there's an actual hashava, that removes the shem gozel. But if there's no actual hashava, so there's always going to remain a shame gozel. There's always going to remain a shame gozel. Namely, that the takonas hashavim was meant to help the gozlan be chozer b'tshuva, but not necessarily by allowing him to do mitzvahs. It was to help him bechozer b'tshuva, to tell him it's kedai for you to pay, and then we're going to be mafkia. Then Again, according to Ben, we're mafkia the chov. Right. Ben is, that's about, that's the regular, I would have learned like Ben had the Rav not written what he wrote.
Shot of the Gemara, certainly.
Ain lo ela de meyetzin.
Right. And certainly, it's even more partial, I think, in the Gemara in Nurba.
Correct. In other words, to say that when you pay your yotze lemafreya,
right,
that's a quince.
Yeah. That's, like, that's not on the Gemara anywhere.
But the third day is, that's what the, I think that's what the Rav is saying.
Yeah, but that's also not really in the Gemara anywhere. Because we're going to say that, once they pay, then they'll no longer be sitting in the sukkah that's stolen. So no, leave them alone, take their money, and go home. He doesn't have any quizzes about their previous performance of the mitzvah. So you can read it in the Gemara, but it's not there.
The diuk would be from the tzvacha of the Issa, that she is saying, I don't want your money, I want my eitzim. And that is what had to go before the Reish Galusa, right?
And right, except, but that's the base doesn't seem to be considering that in their psak at all. So that's why I'm saying it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say it. Yeah. I think it's not straightforward at all.
Yes and no. Let's okay. So we have these three approaches. Okay, so the Gemara brings in the case of the Issa, and then points out that Amar Ravina, Hai Kshura de Metalalosa de Gezula Avde Be Rabbanan Takanta Mitchum Takanas Meresh. So Pshita, Maishna. May Eitzim, Ma'u de Tema Eitzim Shchicha Haylo Shchicha Emalo Kamash Paman. Okay, so far so good. We're going to extend the Takonas Hashavim even to situations that are not Shchiach. Then Hane Mile Bego Shiva, Avolabasar Shiva Hadar Be'enei. When do we say that we have a Takonas Hashavim? And it's enough to either give the money or owe the money. That's during Sukkos. But after Sukkos, then we insist that Hadar Be'ena.
Because there's no longer a Takanas Hashavim. Because he doesn't, let him just give it back. There's no Takanas Hashavim is based on the impetus that he won't do tshuva because he wants to hold on to the object. But now he doesn't need a sukkah anymore. So he doesn't care. So the Takanas Hashavim just goes away.
So, but according to Ben, what Ben is saying is that the Takanas Hashavim in this case was a temporary kinyan for 7 days. Yes?
No, Takanas Hashavim only works when he does tshuva. Takanas Hashavim is not stam. Takanas Hashavim is when he's ready to do tshuva, Takanas Hashavim applies to him. If he's not doing tshuva, Takanas Hashavim does not apply to him. So the meirish remains the meirish of the Baal until he does the tshuva. And that's why. So if he does tshuva during sukkah, he wants to give the money and he wants to do tshuva. So then, but he doesn't want to give up on the sukkah. So that's, so Takanas says, okay, that's okay. Just pay the money, and then we'll, you know, and you'll keep your eitzim. If he decides after, then he doesn't need the sukkah anymore. He has to give it back.
Didn't you just say then the rosh shah, and that's the rosh shah. That's the whole idea. Is that the money then takes the place of, like, you're doing the hishur as exhale with the money. That's exactly what he said.
No. No, because I'm saying Takanas Hashavim is because he's saying it in the Eitzim, I think. I'm saying it in the Takana itself. That's how the Takana works.
Okay, so the Ritva was bothered by this issue. Let's look at the Ritva, how he dealt with it, and then see how we're going to deal with it. V'hani mili betoch shiva avilabasar shiva perush shelo kibel alav shelo kaval. I'm sorry. If the nigzal only enters into the court case after Sukkos, that's when we say that he can get back the beam. O shirotza lahamtin ad motzei hachag, or he dealt with the court case beforehand, but just he's willing for the application of the din for the for the gemar din to be after the chag. O shelo neskaven ligzol ad motzei hachag. Namely, the Ritva sets up three ukimtot, in which under one of these three ukimtot, we're going to say that the beam goes back be'enei. Halav hachi, but if we're dealing with a normal case, in which the gazlan stole the beam, and the owner complains beforehand to Bezdin, and we have a takonas hashavim. Afal pi shelo pro'o ad hachag kvar kno'o udamim bilvad hu chayav lo kedemuchach nemi uvdad Rav Nachman shelo chiyavu lefro'o la'alter v'shelo kepiresh Rashi. In which the Ritva is assuming that we can only set up this Gemara with an ukimta. We can only set it up with an ukimta because takonas hashavim is basically a kinyan. Takonas hashavim is basically a kinyan. And the moment that we have a kinyan, we have no, the ritual of shita, so we have no mitzvah babaveira, the moment you have a kinyan. And therefore it could be yotze, but it's his. It belongs to him. There would never be a case of hadar be'enei, unless we set up an ukimta in which we're going to postpone the whole court case or the whole application of the court case. Or you know, it's the whole world of Gzela until afterwards. No? That's what the Ritva is saying. So according to the Ri, we have such an ukimta, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, what are we going to do and how are we going to work this out? So let's leave this for next time. Okay, we'll start with this next time. Beseder. And then what I'd like to, oh, we still have a lot to do yet. Tosvos. Okay, so next time we'll begin with how this sugya work out according to Rabbeinu Tam with the different aspects of mitzvah ba'aveira and how mitzvah ba'aveira and takonas hashavim interact with one another. Then we have the Tosis of Avol Gazal Eitzim, which Rashi gave an ukimta. Tosis feels Rashi's ukimta is not necessary, that there's a much easier ukimta. And the Gilui Hashas asked a question from Avodim on that, and how can we answer that question? Then we'll move back to the sugya of Lulav Hayavish in terms of the world of Hadar. So if you could learn the Gemara from Tana Yavesh all the way until the middle of the thin lines where it says Osi the Misrach Nafik Torvine Osi the Misrach with Rashi. And we're not going to do next time at all. That's the sugya Bal Tosif. We'll deal with everything in the sugya aside from Bal Tosif. So in other words, that's basically the small Tosis over here in Daf Lamed Aleph. Amed Aleph. There also again the Ritva, the Rambam, everything but Bal Tosif. Bal Tosif we'll talk about a week from yesterday. Okay, that I'll give you a separate Mar Makomos. So I'll give you Mar Makomos to this as well, but we'll do with everything except for Baltos. Okay? But first we'll finish what we had for today.
For Sunday.
For Sunday.